Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tak, ciao, weevi, vakat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt, bribocratic corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is forced down your throat. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we have made it to the big 7 billion. That's the population of humans now on the planet. I thought we made it to 7 billion a long time ago, judging from the traffic on California freeways. 7 billion. That means somebody's not using a condom. 7 billion, and you still can't find a date for Saturday night. Oh well, don't worry. We'll be up to 9 billion by 2045, and try finding a parking space in San Francisco then, right? So anyway, a billion, if my Stuyvesant High School New York City math and science curriculum serves me well, would be 1,000 million. So now we have 7,000 million humans. That's a lot of mouths for Mother Earth to feed. And she does need some help in the kitchen and in the garden. And if you're bringing meat, dairy, fish, and eggs to the table, well, I'm sorry to say, you are not being much help. The animal flesh and fluid diet needs 17 times as much land as the vegan diet. 32 times as much water to grow food. A vegan needs 10,000 gallons of water annually, and a meat eater needs 320,000 gallons of water. So 32 vegans can be fed to one meat eater, and that's probably an important equation when factoring 7 billion, as would be the squandering of 10 times the energy needed for the fleshitarians and bovine secretion suckers. This could be an abundant planet. But somebody, some time ago, came up with the bright idea to eat animal cadavers. Oh, how appetizing, too, huh? Strange that someone would think of it and actually convince others to do it, right? And to convince you to do it. Huh? And where has this unnecessary, abnormal, unnatural, and aberrant behavior brought us? Well, a billion people in the world right now go hungry. 11 million children will die of hunger this year. That's one child dying every 5 seconds. When an acre of land can produce about 150 pounds of beef, and that's in a year, or 20,000 pounds of potatoes. A vegan saves an acre of trees per year, an important deforestation equation, in a world of 7 billion, quickly going to 9 billion. It's been estimated that a meat eater has 15,000 animals killed for his or her diet of death in a lifetime. 7 billion times 15,000, or even 1 billion times 15,000, well, that's a massacre that turns our blue planet blood red. And 7 billion, that's, well, nothing compared to the 60 billion land and sea animals killed for U.S. consumption every year in our thou shalt not kill society. All very unsustainable. You know, Mother Earth's fryers and broilers and ovens, and they're all on fire right now, and global warming is the result of it, and perhaps runaway global warming will be the result of it. If you don't cool it and go vegan, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the first mainstream meaty vegan animal liberation radio program ever, as heard on Air America. We get the message, and we get the message out by purchasing broadcast airtime, and your tax-deductible donation makes it possible. It is urgent that you donate. Please make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Coming up on today's program, Chris DeRose, a hero in the animal rights movement, founder and president of Last Chance for Animals. Chris recently threatened civil disobedience to disrupt the annual meeting of the News Corp gathering in Los Angeles. That would have been to protest the horrible Australian live export trade. Well, surprise, surprise, that threat of civil disobedience actually resulted in Rupert Murdoch inviting Chris to speak at the News Corp shareholders meeting. And we'll hear all about that on today's program. And you have dogs and cats on your holiday shopping list. We'll talk to Delta Farrington from EcoDogsAndCats.com, a 100% vegan enterprise. And again, I remind you of the need for the promotion of vegan animal liberation information to the unknowing public, also the victim of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And, you know, as much as I love Pacifica Radio, I've just endured its pledge drive again, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, KPFA and KPFK, with their wonderful programming, great coverage of the Occupy movement, and I'm in solidarity with the Occupy movement. But still, those radio stations, still no vegan animal rights programming on those stations. So this is it. To support veganism in the media, you have to support this show. And we have production costs, we have to pay the airtime every week, and we depend on you. If you're a vegan, please, it's your obligation to help get the word to others, and you can do so again by making your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. And you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, Bob, at goveganradio.com.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat Stinks.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey. That's what I said, tofurkey. There's tofurkey roast deli slices too. They have tofurkey sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love tofurkey, tofurkey. Come on, give it a try. It's tofurkey. See us at tofurkey.com. T-O-F-U-R-K-Y, tofurkey. Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
How can a dead bird be the centerpiece for a holiday celebration? Pardon the turkey. Serve the tofurkey. Tofurkey feast is what vegans eat for Thanksgiving. Tofurkey for Thanksgiving. And we can all give thanks. You will love EcoDogsAndCats.com because it has everything you need for your special loved ones. EcoDogsAndCats.com. Everything 100% vegan, natural, humane, eco-friendly, and organic when possible. Vegan dog food, vegan cat food. Yes, vegan cat food from EcoDogsAndCats.com. Vegan treats for dogs and cats. Check out Sam's Yams, sweet potato treats for dogs who love to chew. Supplements, grooming, toys, collars and leashes, bedding, litter, litter disposal. Visit now. EcoDogsAndCats.com. 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 The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace,
the organic vegan way is the answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Animal Liberation, Media Infiltration. We are listener-supported, and we could use your help with a tax-deductible donation. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. You can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Well, I am happy to have my next guest back on the program with me, a personal hero of mine, a hero in the animal rights movement. Chris DeRose is the founder and president of Last Chance for Animals. Former police officer, a successful TV and movie actor. You should actually read his really exciting biography. It's called In Your Face. It was Chris who actually kicked down the doors of the UCLA labs to reveal the horrors of vivisection. LCA has been involved with countless undercover investigations, including exposing operations of an underground industry involved with stealing dogs to sell to laboratories, which is well documented in the Dealing Dogs documentary. LCA shut down one of the biggest operations ever, literally saving thousands of dogs. LCA has been on the ground in Japan, rescuing animals, animal earthquake victims there. Last Chance for Animals was also heavily involved in the recent fur ban in West Hollywood. So recently, Chris conducted a workshop in civil disobedience in Los Angeles and then threatened civil disobedience at the News Corp annual meeting in LA to protest the Australian horror of live animal export, which resulted actually in a personal invitation from Rupert Murdoch to be a guest speaker at News Corp's general meeting. Welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. How are you, Chris DeRose?
Good, Bob. How you doing? Thank you very much for having me on again.
Thank you for being with us. So tell us about what happened recently and with the issue related to live animal export from Australia, why you became so concerned about that and how we actually had center stage at the News Corp general meeting.
Very simple. I had been down in Australia. We actually did a liberation, what they call an open rescue. You know, we went into a chicken farm, Henry, and we took out 12 chickens in solidarity to the Spanish 12 who were arrested in Spain for doing open rescues and sentenced harshly. So to let them know that there are people out there in the world that do support them, we did this for Animal Liberation Victoria and LCA. And, we actually gone and broke into a henery down there, chicken farm. And we liberated 12 chickens in solidarity. So while I was down there, I did a bunch of lectures, interviews, and then I wound up finding out about live exports going out of Australia, and I saw the video, and I was tormented by it. I mean, I've seen tons of, footage here in the slaughterhouses, which is absolutely horrendous. But in this case, the animals are put on these old ships with no no ventilation or anything. We're talking sheep and goats going to Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey, Greece, Iraq, and tens of thousands of them die on a ship. And then when they get there, they undergo, at their point of destination, they undergo some of the most horrendous treatment I've ever seen. The cows, this is what really sticks in my mind, too. The cows all went to Indonesia, most of them. And some went to the Middle East, too, but most of them went to Indonesia. And the treatment that I saw happening to the cows, and in my 34 years, and you know, Bob, I've been doing this a long time. I've videotaped a lot of horrible things. I'd seen it, and I was just horrified by the absolute disgust and treatment of these cows, and how they kept kicking them in the eyes and kept kicking them, and the poor cows looking at them, trying to wonder why. And the poor cows tied up, couldn't move. Anyway, the way they killed them was absolutely deplorable. And when I came back here, I swore I was going to do something about it. And I am thinking on a plane coming back, you know, we've got to go to the core of a problem here. Somebody's got to be able to stop this. You know, the Australian government obviously doesn't care. They should be ashamed of themselves. And I thought, well, the most powerful person in Australia, if not one of the most powerful, certainly the most powerful media person in the world, is Rupert Murdoch. So I wrote him a letter, and I didn't do it, you know, with the animal rights thing where I put my finger in his, you know, his eye and yell at him and scream at him. I actually said, you know, you're the one man in this world that could stop this horror. You are the one person that can do it. And I sent the letter FedEx. I immediately, the next day, got a letter back from Rupert Murdoch himself inviting me to his shareholder meeting that we would meet there, and he would introduce me to a couple of his people from Australia there. And he says, but I think you overestimate my power on what I can actually do. And so I got there, and I mean, he reprimanded some of his shareholders. He's a tough guy. He knows, you know, nobody's going to walk all over him, that's for sure, I'll tell you. I was very polite, very courteous to him, and because I'm there as his guest. When I walked up and I gave my name, they said, oh, Mr. Murdoch, special guest. Yes, I was the only one that had a special guest sign, which I still have it. You know, everybody else is wearing press or shareholder, and I'm wearing a guest of Mr. Murdoch. And they treated me, you know, like I was royalty when I went in there, and they really treated me nice. Everybody had 2 minutes to speak. I went on for 5 minutes, almost 5 minutes, and he didn't stop me. And I asked for three things. And he said yes on all three things. One, he condemns it. Two, he will give fair, his media in Australia will give fair and impartial coverage of this. And three, he would set me up with a liaison between the media in Australia and Last Chance for Animals. So that's what we're working on now. We're waiting to hear from on the liaison and who the contact person is going to be. But it just goes to show, sometimes if you appeal to somebody, you know, to their better judgment rather than attacking them, you know, and I told them, I said, there are people in Australia that don't like you or they don't like News Corp. And
well, News Corp hasn't really been favorable to animals, and I understand editorials in the past have not really opposed the live animal export.
That's right. And if anything, they oppose the animal activists down there. But he said he's going to get to the bottom of that. He's in Australia right now, and he's looking into it. So consequently, I learned that his mom, who's 102 years old and sharp as a tack, there's not a thing wrong with her. She's still sharp. She's an entrepreneur. She's a philanthropist that gives money to a lot of organizations and stuff, and she's very much a big part of the RSPCA down there. She actually denounced this several years ago. So she and many other very well-known people have denounced it. And this is all news to me because I've been so busy with stuff here. I have not been, you know, indulged myself into what's going on so much in Australia as I used to. So, but now, he's very much aware of it. I really think something's going to come out of it. I feel it in my heart. He gave his commitment to it. He gave his word. And I believe he will keep it. He had no reason to give it. He had no reason to invite me to this, except for the fact that I said, you are the one man that could make this change and stop the horrifying thing going on in the world.
And he wants to please his mother.
And he wants to please his mother, probably, I'm sure.
And I think his image needs rehabilitating, so this would certainly be a good opportunity for that. I mean, I've seen the pictures of those barges with the animals just stacked up so high, you know. It's just, oh, so pathetic.
You Bob, know. If you or your constituents out there listening to this can go on our website and look at the video and see what they're doing to these animals, our video that we have on our website. Not taken by us, it's taken by two women that have gone to Indonesia and the Middle East and took this stuff. And I got to tell you, it's two of some of the most courageous women I've ever come across. And to if people see this, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's not a case. I just did a lecture the night before last in San Diego at a law school. So the one girl says, why are you putting all this energy into this when you got the slaughterhouses here? No, 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 no. Yeah. I even said to Rupert Murdoch in the interview, I said, the least we could do then, slaughter them in Australia. Don't put them through all this extra horror and suffering. The least they could do is just slaughter them in Australia. Then ship their carcasses over there.
And the animals are shipped all over to the Middle East, North Africa, the Philippines.
That's right.
Southeast Asia.
Indonesia.
Totally awful. And the website is lcanimal.org, lcanimal.org. Is there anything that listeners can do to try to stop this horror?
Yeah, write to the Australian tourism, write to the Australian people. I think it says on our site.
I think the Prime Minister also.
Yes, write to everybody in Australia and tell them, you know, how they should be embarrassed to actually allow this to happen. It's supposed to be a civilized country. It's supposed to be a country with a great reputation. This has not given them a good reputation. It's really disgusting. Oh, and one of the things you see, when they don't show you on it, you'll see them sticking their fingers all the way into the eyes of the cows, all the way to the back of the eye, cow's eyes. What they don't tell you is on the fingers, that hurts in itself, but this green chili pepper, green pepper, that's extremely hot. Now, if you put it near your eyes for hours and hours, you'd be putting water on it because it burns so bad. And I know I accidentally did it one time, and it wasn't concentrated like that, and I didn't get it all the way in my eyeball. I just got it on the skin of my eye, near my eye.
Okay, well, this is an issue we have to address, and let's see if we can make some headway by contacting the Prime Minister. All of the information is on the website at lcanimal.org, including Chris's talk to News Corp. And so you held a workshop on civil disobedience. You are a believer in that? What?
I'm an avid believer. As a matter of fact, I'll take it even a step further. In the law school the other night, night before last, I said, the one student raises his hand. He says, this sounds like you believe in vigilantism. And I said, I looked at him. I said, boy, that word gives me chills. It gets me excited. I love the word. I love it. I said, you know what? Yes, I am. If I heard a child in a house screaming and crying, or a woman in there that needed help, you think I'm going to worry that it's burglary or breaking and entering? I'm going through that door. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to help that person, that child. And it's the same way I feel about animals. They're behind locked doors. They need help. I'm going in. You know, yeah, am I a vigilante in that sense? Yes. Do I walk down the street and I see somebody being mugged? Will I help that person? Absolutely. You better bet on it. And I don't stick around for a pat on the shoulder or handcuffs. I just hit, you know, I get out of there. I mean, I wrote about it in my book when I was 17, 18. I would just go into the worst areas of New York and look for somebody who was being mugged or raped or anything. And I would just, you know, hurt the other person and get out of there and just make sure the person, the victim, was, you know, was safe. And then I'd get myself out of there.
What would you talk about in the lecture or the class on civil disobedience? What were some of the pointers to people?
No, I think it's important. Civil disobedience is crucial to bring the issue to the light of the media so that it gets out to the public. And that's really the main reason for it, is to draw attention to the issue. For example, Or, you know, for years I did civil disobedience on vivisection issues because the Animal Liberation Front had gone in, got great footage, got great exposure on what went on inside of certain facilities. But then, you know, the media covers it for 3, 4 days, maybe 5 at the most, and then that's it. It's gone. It's history. It's forgotten about. But if you do civil disobedience a month later back in front of that place, and another month later and 3 months later, they'll replay that footage of what the Animal Liberation Front risked their lives going in to get. They'll replay that footage, mm-hmm. and the world gets to see it all over again as if it was another liberation. And that's what you got to keep it alive. It keeps the issue alive.
Let me just say this, Bob, too.
The important thing anybody is thinking about doing it, you don't want to be arrested if your intent is not to be arrested because then you get caught up in the legal system. And that's exactly where the opposition, the animal exploiters, want you to be, caught up in the legal system because then you're not hurting them. You want to continue hurting them. So you want to push the envelope. It's taking it to the brink. But you don't want to go to jail if you can help it. You want to get the media exposure. You want to do all that. And then you want to pull away. So it's more of the threat of civil disobedience rather than the threat of arrest. And you don't really want to be arrested. You don't want to. But if you have to, you will.
I never want to be arrested. I've been arrested 6 times just using a megaphone. I say 3 words.
I know.
Which is so much crazy.
For freedom of speech, huh?
So much for freedom of speech, yeah. But
when the world out there needs to know, Bob, only we in the animal movement, no other movement, no unions, no nothing, have ever had their First Amendment right taken away from them. Ours has literally been taken away. It's called the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act. You and I no longer, anybody else out there, can no longer really speak up against the powers to be that are exploiting animals and anything, any animal entity. If you are impeding upon the economic flow of anything, be it a fur store, butcher shop, anything, a research facility, and they claim that you're impeding upon their economic flow, it is a terrorist act.
Yeah, it's a terrorist act, and people have been arrested for putting up a website, for writing slogans with chalk on a sidewalk. They've been arrested under this Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. I mean,
there are so many people in federal prison right now. My one friend, Jonathan Paul, just got out, and he spent 5 years in federal prison, sticking up for and helping animals. And this is a guy who's an emergency medical technician. And he would stop on a road to help anybody, and he has many, many, many times. And he says he's an attribute to society. And yet the judge, who's got 7 kids, called him a detriment. She's got 7 kids, and he's had a vasectomy when he was 23, so he wanted to reproduce children. And yet she considers him a detriment to society. I mean, please. And she sentenced him to a stiff sentence because only reason is because he wouldn't expose the other people who were involved with it. He wouldn't tell who they were. Mm. And so she gave him a stiff sentence. I mean,
yeah.
So much for justice.
So much for justice. Maybe with the new occupation movement or Occupy movement, we'll make improvements. What would the form of civil disobedience have taken at News Corp? I mean, I'm trying to figure out specifically. You're saying
we were going to close down Pico Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to put ourselves right across the boulevard. We were in talks with the police because they were there in full regalia. I mean, they were in riot gear and everything. They were totally there, but they were there to protect us, and they were there to protect the public as well, you know, so that there's no problems with the traffic, and they were going to divert the traffic. And they did, but it didn't last long because immediately I got the everything that we asked Rupert Murdoch for. We got everything. And I didn't expect everything. I thought maybe one, but we got everything. And he was extremely. I really believe that he meant he was going to do what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see now. Time will tell. And you know, everybody thinks this is a great victory. You know what's going to be a great victory? When they're not exporting these animals overseas anymore. Then it's a victory. Till then, everything is just talk, and it's just a pat on the back and all that. I don't look at it. The people in Australia were really stoked by this. But you know what, Bob? It's still going on. They're still being shipped. They're still getting chili pepper stuck in their eyes. They're still being stuffed in trunks, and they're being slaughtered horribly. Till that stops, nothing's really changed. And it's up to the public out there, everybody listening, to do something. These two women exposed it. Two women. So you say, well, what could one person do? One person can make a difference. And together we can make real change. You've heard me say this before. These two women, individually, in different continents, went ahead and they did stuff, and they made major difference in exposing it. We can all do something. We should look at them as a role model.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I look at you as a role model, Chris DeRose. You're really a hero, and I thank you for all you've done for the animals so many decades. I mean, you turned your back on a successful acting career to live a life promoting compassion. So
let me just clear something up. I'm not a hero. The heroes were guys charging Bunker Hill and all that stuff. I just a person that cares and does something about it. And I'm a caring person. That's all. And I'm somebody that does something about it. Just don't care. The caring is not enough. You got to do something about it. It's just like you do. And you really bust your butt keeping this radio show going. It's a means of communication out there to educate the public. And you're talking about somebody that's a beacon light. You are that person. And you work hard. And I don't know how you do it year after year after year, but you do it. And I hope the listeners support you more, because you are the guy that's making that happen. We have a voice through Bob.
Well, again, it's because I care. I care. So I would ask people to definitely, when considering their charitable donations, of course, Go Vegan Radio and Last Chance for Animals. So look at lcanimal.org. That's the website. You'll see all of this about the live animal export, and donate to LC Animal. You really do so much. So I appreciate it, Chris.
All right, Bob. I got to get back into this meeting on the band Fur in West Hollywood.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later. Huh?
Okay, see you soon. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soups, salads, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
Ready to make animals' lives better? You can learn how in two illuminating books from PETA President Ingrid Newkirk. The PETA Practical Guide to Animal Rights will show you hundreds of ways to prevent cruelty to animals, from taking action against abusers to becoming a caring consumer. And for a kinder kitchen, The Compassionate Cook is the definitive guide to low-fat, cholesterol-free, and animal-friendly eating that will help you look and feel great. You can find both books at petacatalog.com.
Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian, and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at sweetlemonveggiebistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center, 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, broadcasting now for over 10 years. We're listener-supported vegan animal liberation media infiltration. And how do we do it? Well, we have to buy the airtime every week, and you can help with a tax-deductible donation. You simply make a check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, you go to goveganradio.com. And we have the holiday season coming up, and I'm sure dogs and cats are on your holiday shopping list. And so today we're going to talk to Delta Farrington. She's the founder of EcoDogsAndCats.com. Everything you need for dogs and cats right there at one website. And welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Delta. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing great.
Great. So tell us about what, why did you start this website, EcoDogsAndCats.com?
Well, I actually have two companion animals myself. I have a gray and white cat named Tom, who is a rescue, and I have a little golden rescue also. And I've been vegan for 23 years, and I've always fed my dogs vegan since day one. And then my cat has been vegan for the 10 of 13 years. And we eat organic, vegan. I mean, we ate all natural, and this is how we feed our animals. So I thought, you know, this is what needs to happen. Of course, I'm so environmentally conscious also, you know, about all these plastics and all the stuff that's going around there that's not recyclable. So I thought, what a better way to find all these companies that are offering these environmental toys that are made from recycled rubber or material. Everything is vegan, of course, and the food is a big part of our business because it's natural vegan food. It's not made with diseased animals like all the other foods are that are meat-based. So, yeah, it's great to be able to do something you believe in and you love in and you practice on a daily basis.
Sure, and all the products you offer are 100% vegan, organic when possible, and environmentally sustainable. So tell us, let's go through what the offerings are in terms of food for dogs and food for cats.
Yeah, so we have a lot of different kinds of food. We have dry food. We have Evolution makes the dry food for dogs and cats. We have Ami Cat, which makes Ami Dog also. We have Natural Balance, which makes the dry food and makes a wet food, which their wet food was, I believe it was awarded by the veggie award. I think that's what it is. And then Evolution has two different kinds of flavors for cats, two different flavors for dogs in the wet. Ami Cat doesn't make any wet, but so we have a lot of different options. I mean, things have changed throughout the years. You know, there used to be one kind of food, and now we actually have options.
I think that people are kind of used to the idea that dogs can be vegan, but sometimes they say cats can be vegan too.
Yeah, and this is kind of the way we're raised and the misconception that cats can't be vegan. And this is why when I first became a vegan, everybody told me there's no way, you can't do it. And, you know, it's that fear. It's that same fear that, you know, you get put in you if you have cancer, oh, you have to do this or you're going to die, you know, kind of thing. So I did, my cat was 3 years old when I moved back to California, and somebody told me, he says, listen, you know, check out this website. And, you know, I was convinced that I could do this. And my cat went right to it. There was no easing him in it, nothing. And I put him directly on the Evolution. And that's what he's been on for the 10 years. I give them things, you know, a little bit here and there. The main thing they need is taurine, and the food is supplemented with that in it. And I've never had any problem. I have so many customers that do have vegan cats. So it can be done. It's just the taurine. And dogs are easy, of course, because they're not even carnivores like people think. They're omnivores. So my dog eats fresh vegetables and fruit in the morning and, you know, all those wonderful things. And my cat, believe it or not, loves cantaloupe, fresh cantaloupe, honeydew. He eats avocado.
I know of many dogs and cats who eat just the way you're talking, you know. So and love all sorts of fruits and vegetables, vegan food. So you know, and the thing with mentioned with taurine, I know that years ago IAMS was studied and didn't really come up to the amount of taurine that it claimed on its label. So you know, that was a problem with IAMS.
That's pretty common on some of the major brands that people are buying out there, thinking, oh, these are great because, you know, they've got what they need in it. Not true. And one thing I will mention about the evolution, because I really like this diet, Eric Wiseman, who's the owner, has been a vegan for 35 years, has a lot of sworn affidavits. He takes in shelter animals, feeds them on their food, and he's studied them. And he has documentation of how long certain animals have lived. I know he has a documentation of a basset hound living for 19 years, which is, you know, really bizarre. And then a lot of, several different ones of dogs living 18, 19, and cats. I'm not exactly sure. I think he might have one that's 28 years old right now.
Hmm.
So that's pretty impressive. And the thing is, it's not... The main thing is it's not that they can eat vegan. It's that it's better, actually. It's better for them. We're finding out with these studies that they're living longer and healthier lives. So that's a win-win situation.
Right. And I see that some of the dog foods manufactured by, a number of companies have a vegan version, and they call it non-allergen. So they're actually marketing the vegan as non-allergen.
Yes, and they make their normal meat-based diets or whatever, and then they make the, like you said, allergen. Well, obviously, you know, if they do that, they must think that they're going to be okay, right, on the vegetarian formula.
Well, they think they'll be okay, and they also think that the meat products cause allergies, right, or affect allergies. You know, so.
Well, it's not just meat products. It's the worst form of meat, parts and products, and you know, it's the bottom scum of the reject meat. You know, and when you love your animals the way most people do, they're our children. You know, why would we want to give them not only the worst parts of the meats, but the fillers? And you know, we had all that problem with pet food. It was a year or two ago with the poisoned wheat gluten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's alarming. You don't have to worry about that kind of thing when you're getting this quality of food for your animals. So
right,
and
a
I
lot
think
of...
what happens too is people, you get to a point if you're a vegan and you say, I don't really want to swap out one animal for another. You know, you think, oh, I love my cat, but yet I'm feeding him chicken and fish, and you don't really believe in that, and it's not eco-friendly. It's not... You know, you're just swapping out, you're saving one life for another, and it. I think most vegans at some point we come to that place where we really don't want to do that if we can find another way.
Yeah, I know. I have a pet cow, and I feed her canned cats.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's just the absurdity of, you know, of what it is. And also the absurdity of why do we pick, you know, dead cows? Well, of course, it's the sweepings off the slaughterhouse floor that become the commercial dog food. But we're also determining that cats would eat cows, and I really don't usually see them jumping on the back of a cow.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Really, I mean, if people... want it's really what the humans can stomach in all of this too, because really it would be a can of sparrow and butterfly sauce that the cat would probably eat, you know what I mean? So
probably mice. It would be mice and birds and butterflies and that type of thing, and certainly not cows and chickens, and probably not even fish, because they're not going to go out and catch fish. So none of this you would see them in the wild, and that's why it doesn't make any sense. I mean, none of it really...
Right, and carnivorous animals actually eat the stomach contents of animals for vegetable matter, and, you know, people just seem to think that feeding, flesh works, and it doesn't. We're talking to Delta Farrington, ecodogsandcats.com. ecodogsandcats.com, everything you need for... your dog, your cat, and 100% vegan. All the products are vegan. And tell us a bit about the toys you have. It's the holiday season.
Yes, we're adding some more toys for the holiday season. Really great little things I can see in stocking stuffers. And we have one company that has these eco-friendly cat toys. They're made from recycled, the contents are made from recycled soda bottles, and then the outside is recycled material. And they have little fish and ducks and, you know, just something they can play with and that type of thing. And another company has what they call the Eco Mouser, which is just made from hemp, and you can fill it with organic catnip. And then as far as the dogs, there's just unlimited amount of things. We have little rubber toys like Bones and chew toys and all those made from recycled rubber.
Instead of those pig's ears and the things that people
exactly.
buy in the stores. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, since you say that, we have a product called Sam's Yams, which is all it is made from dried sweet potatoes, and it's got that texture of a rawhide, and they just love it and chew on it. My dog and cat are the testing for the products, and we have them on our website, and we will say Tommy approved, which is my cat, or Hannah approved, if they've tried out the product, but. So yeah, we've got just tons of toys, and then we've added some sweaters for, I know some people like to put sweaters on their little dogs, and they're made from the recycled material.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And we have beds that are made from recycled fabric and then filled with soda bottles, that have been ground up. So there's a lot of inventory available out there now for pet owners that you don't have to feel guilty for hurting the environment and still buying nice toys and beds for your animals.
Well, great. Okay. So the website again is ecodogsandcats.com. So for the dogs and cats on your shopping list for this holiday season, head to that website. We have maybe 30 seconds left. If there's anything you wanted to mention that we haven't?
Just that, this is pretty much, I think, the only website that you can go to that has everything, not just food, not just toys, but pretty much everything. And we're trying to really conglomerate all these products so you can go to one website and know. I mean, it's nice to know everything's vegan, everything's natural. It's nice to have one website to go to.
Right, and that includes grooming and
yes.
grooming and bedding and just everything you would need. So, thanks for doing this, Delta. It's a wonderful service, and we hope people will support you. You're not the big corporation out there. We're helping the smaller businesses who are trying to do good in the world, and ecodogsandcats.com. Thank you, Delta Farrington.
Thank you so much.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
If you were looking for the perfect formula diet, where would you find it? Read the book, The Perfect Formula Diet, How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy Now with 6 Kinds of Whole Foods, written by Janice Stanger, PhD, certified in plant-based nutrition. The Perfect Formula Diet is based on over 1,000 scientific studies and is endorsed by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, author of The China Study, Neil Barnard, MD of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and other experts on nutrition. The Perfect Formula Diet, practical and easy to read, and with a plan to make it work for you, whether you're already vegan or ready to make the transition to a healthier lifestyle. The Perfect Formula Diet by Janice Stanger, available from Amazon or perfectformuladiet.com.
You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including 3 in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
Here's an easy way to create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customized to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budget requirements, check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load, create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipe creations, and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net.
This is Go Make Your Farm Blending.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, govegan.radio.com. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email me, it's bob@govegan.radio.com. And please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. No time for a pledge drive other than to ask you to find it in your heart to support the vegan cause in mainstream media. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. You can also donate online at goveganradio.com. And be my friend on Facebook, where you find me as Bob Linden, Bob L-I-N-D-E-N. You can read my letter to the Omaha World Herald, a response to its article, Truce for Ag Animal Rights Group. I'm correcting the newspaper that HSUS is not an animal rights group. HSUS is the meat industry negotiating with itself. HSUS has agreed to market meat. It has a hog farmer who kills 50,000 pigs a year on its board. It's buddy-buddy with mass murderers of chickens, United Egg Producers. In fact, its president, the UEP president, says its PR people are working closely with HSUS PR people and legislators. People, and that he, the president of United Egg Producers, is pretty good friends with Wayne Pacelli. And yet, animal lovers, vegans, animal rights people still write those checks, $120 million a year. I say, occupy HSUS. We want our money back from the corporate mouthpiece of the meat industry. I mean, what's worse is the HSUS CEO, Wayne Pacelli, goes on the Discovery Channel, and in a segment called Would Being Vegan Help Animals? He can't even bring himself to say a simple word, yes. Instead, this anti-vegan activist says he doesn't think it's necessary for people to be vegetarian. And most people understand vegetarian to include dairy and eggs. He says it's okay if people buy meat from humane butchers or if people just cut back a little bit, okay? Cut back a little bit on the murder and environmental devastation. Huh? He says he doesn't want people to feel paralyzed by an orthodox regimen. So not only will the supposed number one voice for the animals not say going vegan is a good idea, he encourages meat eating, and he makes going vegan out to be something so difficult, it's paralyzing, so strict, it's an orthodox regimen. And why would anybody send any money to this organization when they can make a donation to Go Vegan Radio? Or Last Chance for Animals, our guest Chris DeRose, who was on earlier in the program. After public pressure regarding an issue covered on this program quite extensively, the U.S. Army has decided to stop poisoning monkeys in chemical weapons training exercises, and Puerto Rico has halted construction of a monkey breeding facility, which would have provided the primates to vivisection, thanks to PCRM for its good work. And please support us with a tax-deductible donation. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. Greetings. Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. My guest is Chris DeRose, founder and president of Last Chance for Animals, one of the true heroes of the animal rights movement. Recently, Chris planned civil disobedience at the annual meeting of News Corp in Los Angeles to protest the Australian live export trade, and the result was quite surprising. Rupert Murdoch actually invited Chris to speak at the annual meeting. We'll talk to Chris about the horrific live export trade in Australia and Murdoch's response, which was equally surprising. Also, you have dogs and cats on your holiday shopping list. We'll talk to Delta Farrington about her 100% vegan company, EcoDogsAndCats.com. You'll hear about vegan dog food, vegan cat food. Yes, cats can be very healthy as vegans. We'll also talk about toys from recycled materials and lots more. The Walk for Farm Animals is this Sunday at the Bandshell in Golden Gate Park. I'll be speaking there. Registration starts at 8:30 in the morning. The walk is at 10 a.m. and I'll be speaking sometime around 11:15. This event is co-sponsored by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, and I do hope to see you there. A broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden in the Bay Area is made possible by Vegetarian House, world-class vegan organic cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us, and by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants. With over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America is in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane, in Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue, and for the Bay Area location near you, including San Francisco, San Jose, and Elk Grove, visit lovinghut.us. Be my friend on Facebook. Look for me as Bob Linden. Yes, and you'll be interested to read about my Occupy HSUS campaign against this corporate mouthpiece for the meat industry that infiltrates the animal rights movement. Occupy HSUS, that's the Inhumane Society of the United States. On Twitter, you'll see me as Go Vegan Radio. You know, we pay for airtime, so when you support Go Vegan Radio with a tax-deductible donation, you also support Progressive Talk Radio. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, goveganradio.com.